Okay, good morning, everyone. Our weekly shiur in Maseches Ma'akadin is dedicated by David and Paula Baumzer and OMO Construction. And the weekly breakfast is sponsored by Bagel Munch, Le'uli Nishmas, Fega Bas Chaim, and Shimon Ben Ze'ev. So, we're up to the Gemara. Oh, Shkoyach, fantastic. Okay. All right, you don't know what you're getting started with. Okay, so we are up to the Gemara on Yud Amud Aleph, but in order to follow the Gemara on Yud Amud Aleph, let's just take a quick glance at the Mishnah on Ches Amud Beis. The Mishnah on Ches Amud Beis made the following, in discussing the halachas of Chol HaMoed, said the following: a hedyot, somebody who is an amateur, right, tofer kedarko, could sew, thank you so much, could sew in a normal way, right? So let's say, myself, right? I would consider myself a sewing amateur. Baruch Hashem, I've been blessed with a number of different abilities. Sewing is not one of them. When I was in yeshiva, I came home once and my mother asked, why are there staples at the bottom of your pants, right? And that's because I did the yeshiva hem, right? So, l'chora, that would also be awesome, chol moed. Although maybe it's mekalkel. So if you're a hedyo, you can sew. Veha uman machliv. And an uman, someone who's an expert, can be machliv. They can't sew, in a regular way, but they could sew in a particular way. And the Gemara is going to say what that means. Umisarginis amitos. And they could also assemble the beds. How did beds used to be assembled? So today we have box springs and 1-800 mattress and your sleep number, very chashuv, mispar that you need to know. But in the old days, a bed was basically a frame, and then there were ropes or string or something that went in both directions, right, to sort of create kind of a little, little boxes, like a grid, like a weave almost. And then you put the mattress, whatever you're sleeping on that weave, and that held up the bed. So, misargin is amitos. We have to understand what that means exactly in the construction of a bed. Rabbi Yossi says, no, you can't be misargin, but you could be mematchin. So, we're going to understand, that's what the Gemara is going to get into it with us, exactly what all these things mean. So, now let's go back to Yud Amud Aleph, where the Gemara says at the very top, a hedyo tofer kedarko. Hechi dami hedyot. How do we evaluate if somebody is an amateur seamstress or somebody is an expert? So Amri de Rav Yanai, so they said in the name of Rav Yanai that kol she'eno yochol lahotzi mole machat bevas achas, anybody who does not have the skill that they are able to basically do multiple stitches at once. I don't exactly know what this means, but you pull the needle through multiple points on the garment, and by pulling it through once, you've basically been able to do multiple stitches at once. If you're stitch by stitch, then you're an amateur. If you could do this, then you are an expert. So the Gemara then says, Machat b'bas achas. Rabbi Yossi bar Chanina Amar, kol she'eno yochol lechavin imra b'chafas chaluko. Anybody who cannot make an even hem at the bottom of their chaluk, at the bottom of their garment, they used to make a strip of material, the bottom of their garment, so if yours is kind of lopsided or, not exactly straight, or that kind of thing, if that's how it comes out, then you're a hedyot, and we will let you sew kedarko. But if you're able to go ahead and sew completely evenly, then that is considered more of an expert. Va'uman machliv. But the uman could be machliv. My machliv, what does that mean to be machliv? Rabbi Yochanan Amar Mafsia, you basically do the stitches spread out. And Rabbi Bar Shmuel Amar Shini Kalbasa. Not so much that you do them spread out, but you do them sort of uneven. Like the teeth of a dog, says Rashi, She'eno tofer kedarko. Tochev ze besamuch ze, lo she'tochev. Right, usually when you stitch, you go one stitch next to the other. El she'tochev amachad pamachas lamala, pamachas lamata. You go up, you go down. Lahachi kari le'kalbasa. So if you could just sort of picture sewing the thread kind of up and down as a stitch rather than across, so it kind of looks like teeth, right? Like teeth of a dog, uneven teeth. So if you're an expert, you basically can do this with some sort of shinoi. Whereas if you're a novice or an amateur, then you can pretty much be so kedarko because it's not a maisa uman, right? We said one of the things that we are not permitted to do on Chol HaMoed is engage melacha in the context of a Maisa Uman, of something that requires a certain degree of expertise. Things that don't require expertise, that we could go ahead and that we could do on Chol HaMoed. A Maisa Uman cannot be done on Chol HaMoed. And so therefore, what's interesting about this Gemara is two people could basically do the same thing. And one is considered Mutar on Chol HaMoed, and one is considered Asur. Right? In other words, I can stitch straight because my stitching, by definition, is not straight. Right? Whether or not I end up with a straight one or I don't end up with a straight one, my Maisa Tefira is not a Maisa Uman, based on the identity of who I am, based on my expertise, based on my talent, right? But the Uman, they can't sew straight. They can't sew the same stitch. They have to go out of their way to sew in this awkward way so that they are basically suppressing their expertise and emerging with something that's not necessarily, something that's so appropriate. Okay.
Can we differentiate between if it's repairing or whether it's making a new garment or anything?
Yes, we will get to that, actually. Yes, actually, we will.
I want to say, the word machliv is still used in the Hebrew language.
Yeah, what does it mean in the Hebrew language?
Usually it would mean the initial stitch.
Okay.
And that would be done by hand.
Right.
And later on, they would put, if everything is fit and it is the right length and everything, that's when they take it under the machine and they do a permanent stitch.
Okay.
So I'm not sure if this is what they.
That's what Rashi means. Good, maybe. Okay. So misargin is amitos. So the Mishnah said we could be misargin the mitos. What does that mean? My misargin. What does misargin mean? Umay mimatchin. And what does mimatchin mean? Which is what Rabbi Yossi said we can do. So ki also Rav Dimi Omar, when Rav Dimi came to Bavel, he said the following. Pligi bar Rav Chiya bar Abba of Rav Asi. We're aware of a machlokas between Rav Abba bar Abba and Rav Asi. The Tarvayu Mishmei de Chizkiya v'Rav Yochanan. And they are both attributing their ideas to the opinions of Chizkiya and Rav Yochanan. But we're not sure exactly who said what, but Chad Omar, we know this. One said Misargin means Shasi v'Orev. Right? That Misargin means, when we say you can be Misargin, we mean you could lay the rope lengthwise and widthwise. Okay? I'll tell you my secret. I always had trouble remembering which one was which through learning Mishnayos. So I'll tell you my mnemonic. Right? If you look at the letters of the word Shasi, most of the letters have sticks that go up and down, right? The shin goes up and down, the tuf goes up and down, the yud goes up and down. When you look at the word arev, it kind of stands out. The ayin slants to the side, the vez slants to the side. So that's how I remember that shasi means the length, and arev means the width. Really, I'm a genius, but for you, I'll share this idea so that you can use it on your own. But of course, you know, I don't need such things. So, shasi below arev, the fact that you're laughing is very good for my self-esteem. Shasi below arev, umamadchin. So what happens? So shasi below arev. Okay, so chadomar misargin shasi v'arev. So one says that misargin means that you're shasi v'arev, meaning you make the full grid of the bed. Umimadchin shasi below arev. So the Tanakhama is saying you can actually make the full grid. You can run the rope, shasi, lengthwise, and arev, widthwise. And Rabbi Yossi is saying, no. You can't run it lengthwise and widthwise. You could run it lengthwise, but not widthwise. Meaning you can't complete the bed in the normal way. V'chad omar, so that's one interpretation. And the other interpretation is misargin, right? The Tanakhama, when he says you can be misargin, he already means shasi below arev. He means running it lengthwise without running it widthwise. Umimatchin, so if Rabbi Yossi says you can't even do that, so what does he say you can do? Then there's nothing to be there. So he says, no, we're not talking about running new rope. What we're talking about is she'im aya rafoi mimimatcho, if it had loosened, if the grid had loosened over time, you know, you lay on the bed, and over time, just like our springs kind of, you know, it, so it loosens. So you're allowed to go ahead, mimatcho, you're allowed to go ahead and tighten it. So the Tanakhama is saying you can only lay it one direction. And Rabbi Yossi says you can't even do that, but you could tighten it. And this is the machlokas, how to interpret the machlokas of our Mishnah. What are they arguing about? Are they arguing about shasi v'arev versus shasi and no arev? Or are they arguing about shasi and no arev versus tightening. So the Gemara says, "Ini, is that so?" Ma'atani Rav Tachlifa Bar Shol, Rav Tachlifa Bar Shol learned vishavin, that in this whole discussion of what you can do and what you can't do, everybody agrees she'ein mafshilin chavolim lecharchilo, that you're not allowed to go ahead and actually form the ropes themselves to begin with. So the Gemara says, hold on, if that's a standing tradition, Bishlama, that standing tradition makes sense. Lamanda Omer, according to the Manda Omer, who says Misargin Shasiba Arev, that Misargin means Shasiba Arev. The Tanakhama is saying you could be Shasiba Arev, you could do both directions. Umimadchin, and Rabbi Yossi is coming along saying you can't do both directions, you could only do one direction right below Arev. Hainu Diktoni Rav Tachlifa Bar Shol, and that's on that machlokus. Rav Tachlifa Bar Shol makes a sensical point, and that is Vishavin, that even though they argue if you could do Shasi Ba'arev or just Shasi, nevertheless they both agree She'ei Mafshil and Chavolim L'Chachila, that you can't go ahead and make the ropes to begin with. But that only makes sense because we're allowing you to at least do something with these ropes. But Lamanda Omar Misargin Shasi below Arev, but according to the Manda Omar, who says that the interpretation of the Mishnah is that the Tanakhama is telling you you can be Shasi below Arev, you can lay the lengthwise and not the widthwise. Mimadchin She'im Haya Rafay Haya Mimadcho, and Mimadchin means you can just tighten it. So then, hashta shasi va'arev amartalo. So what's the implication? If they're only arguing between the most you can do is shasi below arev, is only go lengthwise, that's the most you can do, that means that according to nobody can you go lengthwise and widthwise. So then what? So of course you can't make the ropes. The ropes is much more of a construction than, so you can't even do anything with these ropes. Of course you can't make the ropes. So the fact that we have to tell you that you can't make the ropes sounds like we must be presuming that at least somebody says you can do everything with these ropes. Just so you know, everyone agrees the limitation is you can't make the ropes. So it sounds like the very existence of this tradition, essentially confirms the interpretation that the machlokas must be about shasi va'arev versus shasi. So the Gemara says, "Lo, that's not true." Do I have to tell you that you can't make chavolim to begin with? Kasha. The Gemara says, yeah, taka. That's a real kasha. So Amar le Rav Nachman bar Yitzchok le Rabbi Chiya bar Avin. So the Gemara, and the Gemara rests with that question. It's a good question. That's a good challenge to this approach. Amar le Rav Nachman bar Yitzchok, we're going to come back to it. Le Rabbi Chiya bar Avin. So Rav Nachman bar Yitzchok says to Rav Chiya bar Avin, mi kolamanda amar misargin shasi below arev. Is there really a Manda Omar who says that the word misargin refers to being shasi velo arev, meaning laying only lengthwise and not widthwise, that term is actually associated with such a action? Vahotnan, we learned in a Mishnah, Rabbi Meir says, talking in a completely different context, about how formed a bed has to be in order to be considered
a bed.
A kli, exactly, a bed. And therefore, potentially be mekabel tuma, right? Kalim, when they're not fully formed, do not have the status of kalim, right? Kalim, when they're not fully formed, do not have the status of kalim. Last week, so on July 4th, we went to one of these ceramics places, right? Which I happen to enjoy a lot. So we go to these places a lot because we don't have a lot to do. And so we have, our cabinets are just full of mugs and plates and bowls and, you know, like just an enormous number of them. So it's a machlokas whether or not you have to tovel, glazed ceramic. Because on one hand, it's earthenware. And if it's earthenware, it definitely does not need tefillah at all. On the other hand, the concern is that the glaze, which is sort of like a glass glaze, and the Gemara already talks about this question, whether or not the glass glaze creates a chiyuv, because glass does have to be tovled. So the minhag generally, some people don't tovel ceramics at all, and some people tovel them if they're glazed without a bracha, l'chumra. So that's what we do. That's what we've generally done. But Rabbi Palmer was ma'or to me the following, and that is that he thought that you don't have to, even if you tovel ceramics that are glazed, you don't have to tovel these, because we know the halacha is, right, that if you create the item, so So did you make them? What did you do? You colored on them. So he wants to say the following. So it's not just the coloring on them makes them. That's your, you know, you're adding your artistic impression, or in my case, you're destroying this beautiful piece of mug, right? So what does that mean? So that's not his svara. His svara is that before they put it in the thing, it's not really usable. You can't really, I don't know, it's very rough, it's very porous, it's very, you can't use an unheated, piece of clay pottery like that. It just doesn't work. So they bake it. But when do they bake it? After you pay for it. So you already own it. So since you already own it, you basically bought an unfinished kli. Then the non-Jew finishes the kli, but he finishes your kli. And if it's your kli, then it's not chayav in tefillah. Right? Because it became yours before it was a kli. Right? If it becomes yours before it's a kli, it's not chayav in tefillah. So he wants to tie that that you don't have to toll them. So anyway, he doesn't need mnemonics to remember Shasi the Orish. So says the Gemara. So we know that Kalim, before they're finished, that was the point as we brought this up. Kalim, before they're finished, do not have the status of a kli. But once they're complete, once they're finished and they're functional, they do have the status of a kli. So Rav Meir was discussing, when do we know that a bed has the status of a kli? So in that discussion, he says, Mishiyasro gba shlosha batim. From the time that it has been masrig, three batim, three houses. What does that mean? Three squares. In other words, as you're going lengthwise, and then you're starting to go widthwise, as soon as you hit the third square, there's enough capacity to withstand pressure if somebody sits on it that it's now considered a functional kli. So if it's now considered a functional kli, it could be mekabel tumah. So its status as a kli that could be mekabel tumah is not necessarily our interest here. What is our interest here is the employing of the word misagrin in order to describe an action that clearly is shasi ve'arev. So how could you say that misagrin means just shasi and not arev when we have in this other context, in this Mishnah, this language of misargin shasi below arev? Well, it's not Rameir Omer, Mishi Yisrog, Shlo Shabbatim, which is shasi ve'arev. Eliki, also Rabin Omar, the misargin, so that this ha'ara causes us to basically reevaluate this whole machlokas, the interpretation of this Mishnah. So kuli ama lo pligi. So the Gemara says the following. Kiyasa Rabin, he said the following. But misargin in the first case, the Tanakama's case, kuli ama lo pligi de shasi v'arev. Everybody agrees that case is shasi v'arev. That also takes care of our original problem, right? About the declaration that you can't do the ropes. Right? Because now we have a clear Tana that says you can do Shasi Ba'arev, so we have to know that Kuliyama lo pligi, you can't do the ropes. But Ela ki pligi, where is this machlokas? This machlokas is bimimatchin, in how to interpret mimatchin, which is Rabbi Yossi's case. Mar sabar mimatchin Shasi below Arev. One holds that mimatchin is Shasi below Arev. Umar sabar, and one holds that we don't go from Shasi Ba'arev to Shasi below Arev. Rather, we go all the way from Shasi Ba'arev to the case of tightening. Shaya Rafoi Mimatcho, that it's a case where you tighten the bed. So Mesive, we ask the Kasha, Misargin, Es Hamita, Ve'en Sarech Lomar, Shemimatchin, Divri Rabbi Meir. So we have, essentially, what's another version of our Mishnah that actually explicates who the Tana is. The Rabbi Meir says you could be misargin the mita, so certainly you could be mimachin the mita, right? Whatever interpretation. So now we're going with shasi ba'arev, so certainly you can tighten it. Rabbi Yossi omrim mimachin, you can tighten it, aval lo misargin, but you can't do the shasi ba'arev. Yesh omrim, ein mimachin kol ikar. You can't even do mimachin. So the Gemara says, Bisham Lamanda Amram Mimatchin Shasi below Arev. According to the Shita that says Mimatchin, that Rabbi Yossi is speaking up in a case of Shasi below Arev, Hainu de Asu Yesh Omrim Lefligui. Now we understand why there's a Yesh Omrim to go ahead and be Cholek on it, right? That what does the Yesh Omrim say? A Mimatchin Kol Iker. So you have Rabbi Meir, or you have the Tanakama that says you could do Shasvar. Then you have Rabbi Yossi. Then you have this last Shita that says Ein Mimadchin at all. But Lamanda Amar Shim Hayarafoy Mimadcho. But according to the Manda Amar that says that Mimadchin means that you just tighten it, are you telling me that there is a Deya that says not only can you not do Shasi V'Arif, not only can you do Shasi V'Lo Arif, not only that, but you can also not tighten it. A Shita that's even more Machmir than Rabbi Yossi? What could possibly be wrong with tightening up the ropes of the bed? It's not any major Tircha. And here's where we get into an important din in Hilchos Chol HaMoed. And that is whether or not something that may have a more minimal tircha, but could be done in another way, we should choose the avenue that doesn't involve the malacha at all. And that's what the Gemara says. The Gemara says, yeah, in. There is. Kevin de Esher lemalei b'mani lo tachinon. You could have a situation where you just fill the gap with clothing or with shirts or with something else. And what that does is that creates, you know, that, I guess, compensates for the loosening. The loosening, I guess, is making it dip. So that compensates for the loosening. If you compensate for the loosening without doing any tircha at all, if that option is open to you, then you're supposed to take that option. So that's an important din. Says the Mishnah, Ma'midin tanur v'kirim v'rechayim b'moed. So today we all have ovens that are in our homes and they're part of our homes and they're actually even halachically considered mechubar to our homes. Right? We have the ovens. But used to be, right? You'd set up ovens. Ovens were more portable. You put together an oven. So the Gemara, the Mishnah says, you could be ma'amid a tanur b'kirayim. You could be ma'amid an oven or a kira. If you remember from Maseches Shabbos, right? That a tanur is sort of an oven that holds, it concentrates the heat, but towards one pot. A kira can hold multiple pots and has a little bit of a less concentration of heat. So the Gemara said, the Mishnah says, you can do that on Chol HaMoed, v'rechayim, in order to obviously cook for the Tzorach HaMoed. V'rechayim, even though you're not doing the cooking, you're creating the oven to do the cooking, you can do that, even though it's a malacha. V'rechayim, and you can go ahead and you can make the millstone, right? So how are those made? Basically, you have two giant circular stones, or something that's formed, and you put the grain in between them, and something, maybe an animal, maybe a person, right, moves one stone around the other, right? I'm sure if you've visited Israel, they show you, these are the things that when you're like 14, they're showing you these, and they're getting all excited about these circular stones, and your parents are like, this is a millstone from the time of the Mishnah, and you're like, oh, well, like, where's the ice cream, right? But once you get older, you realize, like, this is mamish, like, this is how people live, like, you're literally seeing their kitchen, you're literally seeing their, you know, they're actual, the things they use, like somebody, you know. So anyway, so if you kind of remember it, it's like two stones, one on top of the other, and there's a hole in the middle, and the hole in the middle is where you drop the grain into, and then there are holes on the sides that they attach a stick to, and then the animal moves them around. So the two things that are important to know about the construction of this is, number one, the hole in the middle, which allows you to put the grain inside, and number two, that the stones are not completely flat, because then they wouldn't grind the grain well, but rather they're grooved, and you make these grooves. So the Mishnah says, V'rechayim b'moed. Rabbi Yehuda omer, Ein mechabshin es arechayim b'tchilo. You're not allowed to go ahead and be mechabshin. We're going to have to see what that means. We'll have a machlokas. What that means, these stones b'tchilo initially. So what does that mean? So my mechabshin, so the Gemara already asks, what does mechabshin mean? What is mechabshin? So the Gemara says, Rabbi Yehuda Omar Minaker Recha. It means Rechaya. It means that you basically create little holes or grooves in the stone itself. Rabbi Yechiel says Bas Eino. It means you create the eye, meaning the hole in the top that you put the grain into. Meisive, we ask the Kasha, Ma'midin Tanur V'Kirayim B'Moed B'Vad Shlo Yigmar Melachton. Tibre Rabbi Eliezer. So we have this Braisa that says the following: you can set up a Tanur and a Kirayim on Chol HaMoed as long as you don't finish the Malacha. That's the opinion of Rabbi Eliezer. Chachamim Omrim Af Yigmar, you could go ahead and finish. Rabbi Yehuda Omer Mishmo. Rabbi Yehuda says, name of Rabbi Eliezer, Ma'midin es a chadasha, you can set up a new one, u'mechabshin es a yeshana. And you could be mechabesh, the old one. Okay, we'll get back to that. V'yesh omrim, and there are those that say, ey mechabshin kol yikar, you can't do this mechabshin at all. So now the Gemara analyzes this brisa in light of our machlokes of what the word mechabshin means. Bishlama, it's good according to the man de amar mechabshin minakarei chaya, that mechabshin means to make the grooves, hanu de mishkachas labi yeshana. That would explain why, in the context of this brisa, Rabbi Yehuda discusses this notion that you could have a circumstance where you're mamed de chadasha and you're mechabshin the yeshana. Why? Because after a certain amount of time, the grooves erode. So you have to make the grooves again. So you have to make the grooves on new ones, and you have to make the grooves on old ones. Rabbi Yehuda is coming to tell you, ma'amidin es a chadasha, u'mechabshin es a yeshar. You can make the grooves on the old one. So, but el lamanda amar de baseino, according to the manda amar that says it's about the hole you put in the top, Baseina lamala, right? Yeshena baseina lamala, right? What does that mean? You never have a hole. You always had the hole. The hole you make in the new one, and then the old one has a hole. You don't have to make holes in the new one. You have to make grooves because they erode, but the holes don't erode, so what's the problem? So, therefore, it must be that the interpretation of minakshin is not in accordance with this suggestion. So the Gemara then says, no, that it could be that this word mechabshin, does mean to put it in the hole. It would seem that we're referring to an old one with putting a hole in. How do you put a hole in an old one? It was only functioning to begin with a hole. The kabayler vuche tfei pursa, because somehow the hole needed to be made bigger. So the chiddush of the baisa is that you should know you can make that hole bigger. So now we can accept both interpretations of the Mishnah in terms of what this means. Rav Huna Shmaya Lahu Gavra. Rav Huna heard a man, the Kominaka Rechaya Bechula Demuda, that he was creating these grooves in these stones on Cholamoid. So Omar, he said, Man Hai, who is this guy? Ischil Gufe, his body should be profaned, the Kamachel Chola Demuda, the same way he profanes Cholamoid. So he was not happy, right, with this behavior. So the Gemara says, why do we bring in this story, right? Sabar la ki yesh omrim, to tell you that Rav Huna held like the yesh omrim. How do you see the Rav Huna held like the yesh omrim? There's no way by hearing this that he could have distinguished between a new one and an old one, right? So if he held the guy to task for doing this on Chol HaMoed, he must have held that both the new one and the old one are both usher to go ahead and make these grooves. Darash Rav Chama, so says Rav Chama, Nokrin Rechayim B'moed, we could go ahead and be Nokrin Rechayim B'moed. To put this, it's mutter to cut a hole in the thing for the Moed. Mishum Rabbi Meir, Omer, name Rabbi Meir, they said, Afilu Sus, even a horse, Sherocheb Olav, that you ride on it, V'chamor Sherocheb Olav, and a donkey that you ride on it, that it's mutter litol tzipornayim b'chol shamoy. You're allowed to cut their nails on chol shamoy. Why would you need to cut their nails on chol shamoy? Rashi says, because if you don't do that, if the animal's in pain, then it won't go properly. And since you're using it for something with tzarech hamoed, you could go ahead and cut these nails. Aval chamra derei chaya, but a donkey that you use for the purpose of tchina, of the purpose of grinding with this mill, that you are not allowed to cut their nails, says Rashi. Lo, why? Explains Rashi, because the even if the animal is a little bit compromised, you can still accomplish enough grinding to get you what you need for the purpose of yontif itself. And since you can do that, that would not be much. Rav Yehuda Shari, so Rav Yehuda was matir, lemishkal tufraya lechamra direchaya. He was mutter to cut into lemishkal tufraya lechamra direchaya, lukmi rechaya lemivni rechaya. So this is a list of things that Rav Yehuda allowed us to do. Number one, he said that it's mutter to go ahead and cut the nails of the donkey that works on the mill. Number two, it's mutter to set up the actual millstone. Number three, it's mutter to build the millstone itself. Lemivne amas rechaya, and to build the frame of the mill. I guess they sat in some sort of wooden frame. Lemivne uraya, and it's also mutter to go ahead and build a barn that holds these animals that are needed, if that barn is needed, in order to protect them for the period of Chol HaMoed. Rava holds, and the Girsir changes it to Rav, having to do with the sugya of Davar Shein Miskavein, but that's a whole discussion, Rashi Tosis. Shara Lesruke Susaya, it's mutter to go ahead and comb the horses. You're allowed to go ahead and comb the horses, says Rashi, Lahasrik Susim B'Misrak Shel Barzel, to comb them with a comb of Barzel, even though with an iron comb, right? Even though you know that that's going to ultimately take out hairs from the animal, it is mutter to do because it's part of what's necessary in order to be able to have the animals look proper and appropriate to use them for whatever you need to use them for. Ulemivne akarpita. And you're also allowed to construct, which basically, a container that the animals, a trough, that the animals can eat out of. A trough that the animals could eat out of. Ulemivne itstava. You're also allowed to build a basic stone bench that doesn't require a tremendous amount of expertise. Rava shara lemishkal dama lebehema bechula demoda. Rava was matir, people to be makers dam, to basically draw blood from the animals, which was basically a veterinarian treatment of animals on Chol HaMoed, so that the animal doesn't get sick and die. Amar le Abaye Tanya de Masayei Loch, there's a brisa that supports that. Mekizin dam le behema, you're allowed to be makers dam for the behema. Ve'ein monim refua le behema b'chol shamoed. You don't have to hold back from healing your animals on Chol HaShamoed. So that's the opinion of Rav. Rava Shara, now we have a number of different dinim that Rava shares with us with regards to Chol HaMoed. Shara lichus chusei kirmi. So Rava says that one is permitted to go ahead and press their clothes, right? To iron their clothes. My taima, my sehed yidu, right? Even I know how to iron, right? That's not a big malacha. So Amar Rav Yitzchak Bar Ami, Amar Rav Chizda, ki ture biri aser. But to go ahead and somehow iron down the sleeves in such a way that requires more expertise, that's something that's aser. Mai taima, why is that so? Maisa uman hu, because it's a maisa uman. So your shirts are a little wrinkled for Yontif. You want to go ahead and clean them up for on Chol HaMoed. So to do so by just using an iron yourself, that's a maisa hedyo. To do so by using like a cleaners, to do so by a real machine that does it in a very professional way and starches it, that's already more of a maisa uman. So that's not so simple that could be done on Chol HaMoed.
Kitor is
right?
Steam.
Steam.
Okay. So steam pressing is probably when you use steam, it presses it even better.
Okay.
So it seems as if we're using steam, without the steam, it's we can do it, but we cannot.
So guys, that's a good question. If our irons, which do use steam, right? You could turn it off. Right. But I'm not sure if the steam that we use out of our irons is considered a maisa uman, right? I don't know about you. I generally end up spilling all the water. I only do this at hotels. That's the truth. When I'm traveling, I always end up ironing. So Amar Rava, says Rava, mandi maskil ara, a person who's going ahead and clearing out their land. So adata devei dari shari, if the goal is to be able to use the wood for something that's appropriate for Chol HaMoed, then that is mutter. Adata de ara, but if you're trying to improve the land, then aser. It's aser. So hechidami. So it's the same action. How do we know what you're intending to do? So mulya b'mulya, v'notza b'notza, adata devei dari. If you're going ahead, so if you're creating, if you're basically going mound by mound, Rashi explains, you're going mound by mound, and you're basically, so you find a mound of dirt, so you go ahead and you You take down that mound of dirt by putting a little bit of dirt next to it. So you create a small area that's level. So, or you have a hole, and you dig a little bit of a hole on the other side. So you put a little dirt in, and you basically create a small area that's level. So creating a small area that's level is for the purpose of threshing. It's purpose of doing something in Chol HaMoed that's mutter. That you're allowed to do. If you're doing it that way, it's okay. But moya v'sada b'natza, but if you go ahead and you're completely filling things in and completely digging things out so that it's clear you're trying to level the area of the entire field, not just create one zone of something level, that already adapted to Ara, then we assume you are being revealing that your intention is to make the land better. The Amar Rava, Haiman de Zachi, so says the Gemara, a person who goes ahead and is okay, so that all depends on your intention. Like, what are you trying to do? What are you trying to accomplish? Good. So what happens if you're trying to Haiman de Zachi adaiti de tzivi shari adaiti de ara asir, right? So if you're trying to collect branches or wood from the area of the Rashi Shemichabit is a karka me'etzim ketanim shaleah shenotlum. You're trying to go ahead and clear it of wood. So if you're doing it because you want to burn the wood so you could use it for yantif, to cook for yantif, then that's mutter. If you're doing it because you want to improve the land so that you could have better land for growth, that's aser. So hechidami, how do we know that? So shakil rabrevei v'shakil zutre, if you collect the big ones and you collect the small ones, adati ditzivi. So but shakil rabrevei v'zutre, but if you collect the big ones and you don't collect the small ones, then it's clear you're trying to use them for something purposeful. But if you're collecting everything, shakil rabrevei v'zutre, adati da'ara, then it's clear that you're clearing the land itself. Then Rava says, "Hi man, de pasach maya la'are." Let's say you have a river near your land, and you have a dam that breaks that holds back the river, and you want to open up that water to flood your land. So adaiti de kavri shari, adaiti de ara aser. If your purpose of introducing all this water into your land so you could grab the fish so that you could eat the manyantif, that's mutter. But if your goal is to is to irrigate the land, is to improve the land, that's aser. So hechi dami, how do we know? Pasach trei bave, if you open two areas, chad mi loy v'chad mi sisoi, adaiti de kavri. If you open basically one area at the top, one area at the bottom, so that the water comes through, and the water basically goes through and leaves the fish there, then it's clear it's for the fish. Pasach chad bava, but if you open one thing, you just let the water sit there and irrigate the field, even though there are fish there, and even though you may use the fish there, adaita da'ara. That makes clear that your kavana is really for the land. Ve'omar Rava, and Rava said, Ayman tefoshach dikla, that a person is going ahead and they are cutting off or they are removing parts of their dekel, of their palm tree. So adaita dechiyusa shari, adaita de dikla, aser. If it's the chiyusa, if it's to feed grass to your animals, feed vegetation to your animals, your chayos, then it's mutter. But if it's to make the plant better, then it's aser. Hey chidami, how do we know that? Shakal kuli mechad gisa. If you harvest it in an imbalanced way, you take all of the branches from one side. So if you take all the branches from one side, the good branches and the bad branches, so then that's clear. You're just using it to feed the animal. Die to the chiyusa. Mahai gisa, but if you kind of take a little from here, a little from there, you know, and you're being much more even around, adai to the dikla, then it's clear you're trying to improve the quality of the plant. V'asar, and that is asar and cholamoid. It's not letzarech moed, it's not a hepsim meruba, it's not anything that's required for yantif. The Omar Rava, hani tamri, tochlani migruzrayu, shari. Maitzinhu asir. If you have dates and you cut them up, so that you could eat from them, so that's mutter. If you go ahead and press them, so that you could get the honey out of them, so you could dry them and eat them, that is aser. And the assumption is because the drying of the dates would not be done in time for yontif. So this is not letzarech yontif. So the Gemara says, Rapapa Amar Kevin, so aser. Rapapa Amar, Rapapa says, no, you can do this pressing of the dates. Why? Kevin de misloi kipramakt par kamatya ha'ave dami. Since worms can infect these dates, if you just leave them alone, and you will then lose them, you will not be able to have them at all. It's like a business venture that you stand to lose something from, and therefore you're not required on Chol HaMoed to refrain from melacha and sustain a loss. And so therefore you're allowed to press them, even though it kind of looks like and it kind of seems like you're preparing them to dry them for something that's not for the Moed. You're allowed to do that because you could potentially sustain a loss. Vishari, v'amar Rava prakmatya kol shehu aser. And this is a very important statement. Business in general on Chol HaMoed is aser, right? Amar Rabbi Yossi Baravin, uvidaber ha'aved mutter, right? But if it's for a loss that you could sustain, then it is mutter. Then we have a little chizuk. Ravina havale ahu iska. Ravina had a business deal. The havel mizadvan b'shisa, that he could have sold something for 6,000 alfei. Shehiya lizvune basa chola demuada, and he waited till after chol HaMoed. Mizavnei b'treisar alfei, and he ended up selling it for 12,000. So what does that show you? That shows you how gevaldik it is for your business to hold back on Chol HaMoed. So the Rishonim, there's a big machlokas Rishonim, by the way, whether or not when we say that a davar ha'aved is mutter, and this we'll get to a little bit more a little bit later when we analyze davar ha'aved more intensely, but do we mean an actual loss, that's what's mutter, or even preventing a potential gain? Right? In other words, they're saying that if I don't open my store, if I don't go to work, I will be fired. And therefore, I will have no job. So you are literally taking my parnasa out of my life. Right? That's a davara avi. It's according to everybody. You wouldn't be required not to go to work for that. But what about if I go to work, what about I won't get fired? I'm self-employed. I have a store. And if I go to work on Chol HaMoed, I'll make more money. And if I don't go to work on Chol HaMoed, I won't make more money. So it's a davar ha'aved. I'm going to lose money if I don't go to work. So that's a big machlokas rishonim. Whether or not the heter of davar ha'aved. So first of all, if you're just going to make a little bit of money and it doesn't make a substantial difference to your life, then that's definitely not something you should do. In fact, Rav Moshe was asked if a person should use vacation days to avoid working on Chol HaMoed. Because if you use your vacation days, then it's clear it's not a davar ha'aved. You don't lose any money. What do you lose?
Vacation.
Right? So anyway, this is a big discussion. So he basically writes that, and this is the general mahalach, that, listen, you know, every person has to evaluate for themselves. If the inability to take vacation at another time of year, when the vacation is more substantial, more restorative, more spiritual, more, you know, substantive, more whatever. So then you could argue that you really need to consecrate the vacation day for there. But if it really doesn't matter, if it's really, you know, six of one, half a dozen of the other, and you can take the vacation then, you can take the vacation now, a person should try to take off on Chol HaMoed. A person should try not to engage in business on Chol HaMoed, especially if it's not going to be a davar ha'aved, because you're on vacation. You're getting paid. That's what vacation is, right? You get... assuming you're getting paid vacation. So that's that itself is a big discussion. And that discussion comes up, let's say, around like sales. You know, should you go ahead and go start engaging in business and buying things? And there's Yerushalmi, that if a caravan comes through and you could only get goods from this caravan for a very good deal for this amount of time, and then it's leaving. So the post can write, if the sales, mamish a sale, right? It's very hard to tell now, because all sales are blowout sales, right? But if it's mamish, like, you know, there's a going out of business sale. So this is the only time this sale is going to happen. And you could get the Natuzzi couch, you know, at 70% off. And so that, according to the Shittas, that would say that it's avoiding a loss, that might be considered a davar ha'aved, to go ahead and buy that couch on Chol HaMoed. But if, you know, shirts are on sale at Macy's. Okay, Yishkayach, you know, shirts are on sale at Macy's every 6 weeks. Shirts are on sale. You just have to know the right 6 weeks to go to Macy's. You just have to care enough to look at the circular and not just throw it in the garbage. And then you'll know when there's a sale at Macy's. You know, it's not the once a year amazing sale. It's a, so having a sale, you know, it's there are always sales. Sales happen. Sales. So if that's the case, then and it's a minimal revach for you, so that it might not be considered such a davara of it. But it is something that we should think about, and it is something we should work on. And it is Nachronim will talk about the fact that this does not seem to be. Most people go to work on Chol Moed, right? So it's not, you know, it's clearly not part of our general halachic culture. Why exactly that? So there probably was a time where this was really a davara of it, and people really couldn't feed themselves without this, and that kind of became institutionalized as the norm, and this becomes the norm. So if it's something we could rise above, and it's also not all or nothing, right? Taking off all of Chol Hamoed, maybe that's not possible. Taking off some of Chol Hamoed, maybe that is possible. You know, but to think about how to treat Chol Hamoed is not just another day stam, and that you always have the story from Ravina that maybe you'll even get a better deal at the end of Chol Hamoed. So I'm going to start taking off Chol Hamoed. So what happened? So Ravina Avimasik Zuze. So now Ravina tells the story. Avimasik Zuze Bivnei Akro Deshanusa. He was owed money by these people who live near this area. Also, Kamei de Ravashi came before Ravashi. Amarle Maula Mezala Inu Alayu. Can I go collect the money on Chol Hamoed? Amarle came to Inu Hu Mishkachas Lahu. Since today you could actually find them, right? And you know where they are. So then, Biyom Achrina Lo Mishkachas Lahu, and you can't find them another time. It's considered like a prakmatya ha'aved. So again, that just goes to reinforce this notion that it all depends on how pressing the opportunity is. All right, everyone should have a great day.